from the Star Rental Sports Desk. Your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, kiddos, here we go. Headlines on a rainy Friday afternoon right here on 950 KJR. Brought to you, of course, by our friends at Buddy's. Curtis and Glass, it's always 420 at Buddy's, baby.
I didn't know that side of Softy there.
Seahawks, Titans on Sunday. Damian Lewis, offensive lineman, defensive tackle Brian Monet, and corner DJ Reed, all questionable. However, 3-2-1. Pete Carroll did say that Lewis and Reed both practiced today. D. Eskridge and Rashad Penny both doubtful for Sunday's game. Titans corner Caleb Farley, their number one pick out of Virginia Tech, is out for the game. And starting linebacker Bud Dupree, backup tight end Anthony Firkther are both questionable for the game on Sunday.
Big loss for the Green Bay Packers. They will place linebacker Za'Darius Smith on the IR. He had 12.5 sacks a year ago to lead the team. And Raiders running back Josh Jacobs will miss this week's game with toe and ankle injuries. Kenyon Drake will get the bulk of the carries with recently acquired Peyton Barber as the backup.
Mariners back at it tonight against Kansas City.
Yay!
Four games out in the wild card race. Chris Flexen tonight, Kikuchi tomorrow, Logan Gilbert on Sunday. Righty John Heasley is making his Major League debut for the Royals tonight.
We have some NIL news.
Ooh.
Florida Trading Card Company has signed Huskies Sam Huard and Kyler Gordon.
Really?
You don't say.
Wow.
With two of them to be a part of an 80 to 90 card set of top college players, one of which isn't even playing.
Who is the quarterback for Ohio State that got like a gazillion dollars? What's his name? The kid that's going to the Buckeyes, and he signed a deal. He's getting a buttload of money.
Oh, the high school kid?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's there now. He's on campus now, but he's a five-star quarterback. So I think you'll see a lot of places do things like that to just get these kids in, because if they end up being who you think they're going to be, it might even cost you more down the road. What else we got? NCAA, two games, two tonight, UCF at Louisville, Maryland at Illinois. Tomorrow, UW-Arkansas State, 1:15 kickoff, 9 o'clock pregame right here on KJR. Time for a little fun with audio, baby.
It's now time for Softy and Dick's Fun with Audio.
Jimmy G, porn star Jimmy, Mr. Garoppolo.
Presented by Body Armor. More than a sports drink with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. Now, let's have some fun with audio.
All right, here we go. Every Friday at this time, a little fun with audio slash, hey, did you hear that?
What's that, Dick?
On the radio show, that guy right there, by the way.
What's that, Dick?
Hugh Millen will join us on the air at 5:05 tonight.
Yeah!
Get his thoughts on what's happening over at UW and with the Hawks. But, Dick, we start with Pete Carroll, who turned 70 years old on Wednesday. Celebrates in the locker room on Sunday with Hawk players like he's 19 years old after they beat the Colts on the road 28-16. Check it out.
Hey, they only let us play one game today. We only got one shot at it. Might have been the only game we ever get to play. You balled out today, fellas. Across the board, you balled out. Seahawks travel, huh? Yeah. That's so good. I can't even tell you how proud I am that we can keep going on the road. Nobody can do that. Nobody can do that. They ain't even close to what we're doing. Beautiful job.
Wow.
I didn't know he dropped F-bombs.
He used toilet talk.
Wow.
A little potty mouth there. I'm not sure if I've ever heard Pete Carroll swear like that.
I mean, do you think Pete Carroll's happy that audio got out?
Can we get the unedited version of that, please? I'd like to hear that. That would be really fun. There's something about hearing people like that swear, like, oh, ha. Do you hear that? Oh, he just used the F-word. Wow. Well, look, good for him, and he looks like he can go another, 10 years. I mean, who's the oldest coach in the history of the NFL? George Halas back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. So, I mean, would it shock the hell out of you if Pete Carroll is walking the sidelines with a walker at some point? Coaching the Seahawks with a bag of oxygen at the same time. I think he's going to die on the field. Swear to God. I think he's going to be like, it's so good. And it's just over and it's done.
Well, let's hope it's just a long, long time from now.
Just carry him off, man. Well, good for him. Happy birthday to Pete Carroll. 70 years old and acting like he's 15. My God, that was fun. All right. Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dave?
What's that, Dick?
Last week on ESPN's First Take, Stephen A. Smith, Michael Irvin debating who the greatest athlete of all time is. Wow, was it a slow sports week on ESPN? Michael Jordan or Tom Brady? Irvin was outraged when Stephen A. had the gall to pick Michael Jordan over Tom Brady.
So you're going to tell me the greatest athlete, you want to talk about great athlete? He is a great athlete. The greatest athlete goes out and wins. We expect that. The 199th pick goes out and wins 7. We didn't expect that. So you can't just tell me about what he accomplished. Tell me about the distance he had to travel to accomplish what he accomplished. And nobody traveled more distance than this man right here, Tom Brady.
Hold on. Well, there's a mistake in your argument.
He has a point. I disagree with him, but...
I thought there was more there. I thought did we just cut off Stephen A., or was that it? I thought there was more there. All right,
thirty seconds. Fine. I think we're just doing Michael Irvin, but Tom Brady did come from a place where nobody even thought he was going to be a starting quarterback. Everybody thought Michael Jordan was going to be a star, if not superstar.
Well, except for the Blazers and Rockets.
Yeah, there were two teams.
That thought that Michael Jordan would not be as good as Sam Bowie and Hakeem Olajuwon. So, hey, look, I mean, I get it. You know, the term athlete, I mean, who's a greater athlete? Probably Michael Jordan.
Yes.
If we're talking about competitor, right? Maybe you can say Brady. It's having these arguments and getting pissed off at somebody who has the opposite take than you do is ridiculous. Like, really? You're an idiot because you think Michael Jordan is the greatest athlete, or you're an idiot because you think Tom Brady is the greatest athlete. I mean, come on.
There are a handful of names, a small handful of names.
Just pick one.
As long as your pool that you're picking out of is that small handful of names.
Absolutely.
And not just some random that you're
right.
Like, what? What do you mean? You know, Cortez Kennedy is a great player, but he's not the greatest athlete of all time.
Well, who's
you know?
who's more physically gifted, Michael Jordan or Tom Brady? Michael Jordan.
Of course.
I mean, I would think, to me, I think Bo Jackson is the greatest athlete I ever saw, right? I mean,
honestly. Are you including championships? That's the thing.
Yeah.
Is part of being the greatest athlete of all time having the rings to back that up, or the Olympic gold medals to back that up?
What if Michael Jordan never had Scottie Pippen? What if he never had Phil Jackson? What if Tom Brady never had Bill Belichick, right? I mean, somewhere out there in the ether, there's a guy that has no titles that would have won three or four if he was put in the right situation.
There's an alternate
universe. So that's part of it, for sure. All right, Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dave?
Did you hear that?
Hear what?
Last week on the Buccaneers Players Chat, Tom Brady explaining how officiating is deteriorating the quality of football being played today. Roll it.
It's not being taught the right way. Like, a quarterback should only throw the ball to certain places because your receiver is in danger of getting hit. For example, when I used to play against Ray Lewis, I wouldn't throw the ball to the middle of the field because he'd go after you and he would hit, like, and we didn't always have the biggest receivers, but he would hit him and knock him out of the game. Mm. And now every hard hit is a penalty on the defense. So I feel like they penalize defensive players for offensive mistakes.
Mm.
So, like, if a quarterback, I was watching the Chicago Bear game, the quarterback messes up, doesn't see the blitzer, or the line screws up. I don't know what happened. But the quarterback or the line on offense, the defensive player comes in and hits him hard, and they throw a flag on the defense. So they've almost moved the protection of your opponent to you as opposed to where it should be, which is on yourself. Like, if you're a quarterback, you got to protect yourself and your players. It shouldn't be the responsibility of your opponent to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, I think it's a really disservice to the sport, because the sport isn't being played at a high level like I believe that it once was.
Well, the problem is the next generation will grow up with something totally different than we did, so they'll be used to it, and it won't be as big a factor. When there's change, the previous generation, like us, always has a problem with it, and the younger generation grows up thinking, well, this is kind of all we know, so there's really no point to be upset about it because we haven't had anything different. I do think that the NFL, for example... And I'm looking for the video. I thought Warren Sharp put it out. There was a defensive lineman, maybe it was Chase Young last night, that came in on the quarterback and fell on him. He goes and makes a hit, and he falls on Daniel Jones. And that's now a foul, as you know. You can't fall on quarterbacks. You have to maneuver your body so you're falling to the side of a quarterback. And I guess I would just ask this. Like, the Blazers-Nuggets series, when the guy got called for the foul on Lillard, do you really want that part of the game? Like, really? No. Do you really want that to be a foul? Do you want that to be a penalty? And if the answer is logically no, then what are we doing?
Yeah.
Right?
No, Tom Brady raises a great point, but the quarterbacks nowadays, they don't have to worry about any of that.
Yeah.
So, because they should throw the ball over the middle. Yeah, you don't want your receiver killed, but you know what? I'd kind of like the extra 15 yards, and
absolutely,
that makes my gain 22 yards instead of 7.
Well, I mean, look, there, it's like any business where they know that fireworks sells, and they know points sells. They want points. They don't want 7-3 games. They're not stupid. So in the end, I think what's going to happen in 15, 20 years from now, you will have a generation of safeties and cornerbacks and linebackers and defenders that will be used to playing like that, mm-hmm, and this will no longer be a factor. I miss the old days when guys got the crap blown out of them.
I do too.
I miss turning on ESPN and seeing the "you got jacked up" segment, mm-hmm, which they could never do now, ever. Can you imagine for how people freak out these days about things like that? If they put that on TV, on ESPN, people would lose their mind if they put that on TV.
And it's a quick transition, too. Oh. We're not talking about 20 years. We're talking about, like, 5.
All right. Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dave?
What's that, Dick?
Let's go with number 4 on last week's Funky Friday YouTube show. I didn't realize there was a Funky Friday YouTube show. Former Patriot quarterback Cam Newton, this is how low things have gotten for him, he's appearing on Funky Friday on YouTube, explained how he was released by the Patriots before the season. Check it out.
Matt, Patricia was there, Bill was there, and we greeted each other and we just started talking. And at that time, they told me that they were going to, you know, give the reins to Matt. And I was like, okay, cool, da da da. And it didn't dawn on me that I was like, y'all releasing me? You know what
Did
I mean?
You ask or you just said
no,
that?
I was confused because Bill was, I mean, we all were shocked. Yeah, yeah. It was all uncomfortable for everybody.
So the powers that be.
Can we be honest? The reason why they released me is because indirectly, I was going to be a distraction.
Without being a starter. Yeah.
And this was
but
not
how?
Gonna come.
Not, verbally or in the locker
just
room?
Just my aura.
Okay.
Just my aura. And that's just, and I told you this off camera. That's my gift and my curse.
Yeah.
When you bring a Cam Newton to your facility, when you bring a Cam Newton to your franchise, people are interested by mere fact
they
of
are intrigued.
Who is he?
I think he's 1,000% right.
I do too.
And I think it's actually, to be honest with you, really cool that he was able to identify that and say that. Hey, look, I know why I got cut, mm-hmm, because I'd be a pain in the butt as a backup quarterback. Every time something bad happened to Mac Jones, the camera would pan to me to see the expression on my face. If Mac Jones didn't play well, Patriots didn't play well, somebody in the Boston media would approach me looking for some derogatory comment after a game, and I could not help myself. I think it's great when you can examine yourself like that and actually psychoanalyze yourself like that. And the fact that Cam Newton said, hey, man, my personality is too big to be a backup quarterback in the NFL. He's totally 1,000% correct.
He is, but he also has put himself in that position. Yeah, and now because of his personality, he's out of a job.
Well, does he care? Honestly,
I mean, maybe not.
Maybe
he's made enough. And, yeah. You know,
maybe
he's
he didn't
want to
be
it.
But you're right. I mean, he's put himself in this situation because he's so boisterous and so outspoken and all that and colorful. And I don't know. Maybe I'm giving the guy too much credit here because I know that he did this to himself to get to that point. But I think it's really cool that he came out and said, hey, I get it. I'm not ripping anybody for this. And you know what? He's almost insinuating that if he were the head coach, he would have done the exact same thing. With himself.
Yeah.
I can't have me on the bench backing up a rookie. Totally.
Well, Ron Rivera ain't making the call. Yeah. I think he's going with Taylor Heinicke.
Absolutely. All right. Jackson is gone. Andrew's in for Jackson. Thank you. Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dave?
Did you hear that?
Hear what?
Let's go to number 6. Last weekend, 26-point underdog Jacksonville State upset Florida State in Tallahassee with a game-winning 59-yard touchdown pass as time expired. Here's how the final play sounded on Jacksonville State's radio station, 91.9 WLJS, with Mike Paris on the call.
Snap to Cooper. Looking down the field. He's got a man. Caught it. He's free. Phil Y'all Johnson at the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! There are no flags. Touchdown pass on the final snap of the game. Jacksonville State has won it.
How about the color commentary? Golly!
How about the other call? You got the other one queued up? This is Gene Deckerhoff, who also does the Buccaneer games, by the way, and Keith Jones on the Florida State Network. Check this out.
Here's the snap. Throwing the deep bomb down the far sideline. Caught ball.
at the 10-yard line to the 5-yard line.
Are you serious?
Jacksonville State with no time left.
I just said keep everything in front of you.
The Gamecocks have taken the lead and will win this ball game, 20-17. And the Gamecocks are going crazy. How about that?
Did you hear that right there? That's the guy throwing his headsets off. He chucked his headsets.
I told you,
keep everything in front of you. And that's what he did. That would have been me if I were on that call with you.
It's one thing to lose on a bomb that gets caught in the end zone. Yeah. It's another thing to lose on a pass that gets caught at like the 15 or 20-yard line, and the receiver has got to avoid the defenders to get the extra 20 yards on the last play.
I love it, man. I think it's great. I think it's awesome when play-by-play crews sound like that. I think there's a difference between guys talking over themselves the entire broadcast and coming across like boobs like you and I do on the air Monday through Friday. But I think when you have passion like that in the college game, I think it is unbelievable. And I'll tell you what, get used to it, because the 85 scholarships is catching up with everybody. It's trickling down.
It is.
Group of five teams are getting better. FCS teams are getting better. There's more talent. There's more parity around college football. So, I mean, look at this. We've already had two teams, right? Two teams have been upset by FCS teams in the first two weeks of the year.
That's right.
In Florida State and now UW. All right, let's get to one more.
Do number eight,
I will. Dick, did you happen to hear that?
Yes, I did. What's that, Dave?
Did you hear that?
Hear what?
That's awesome.
All right, last weekend, a cat made its way into Hard Rock Stadium for the Miami Hurricane game against App State. And App State, they look good themselves, too.
Yep, that was a close game.
Against Miami. At one point, the cat was hanging off the ledge of the 300 level by a wire, and Miami fans underneath held flags to catch the cat when it fell. Frank Caliendo, our buddy, posing as John Madden and Pat Summerall,
so good,
narrating the wild situation with the cat last week on social media.
Pat, you see that up there?
Sure do.
I mean, what do you think that is?
Looks like a cat.
What do you think he's doing up there, Pat? I mean, usually a cat isn't hanging from a roof like that.
Like a cat on a hot tin roof.
That's how I'm feeling right now, Pat.
Dangling, spinning.
You ever see one of those Cirque du Soleil shows, Pat? I mean, this looks a lot like one of those right now, except it's a cat.
He's falling to the five. They caught him.
This is unreal, Pat.
He's holding him up. Like Simba, the Lion King.
What? I mean, why do you think this cat's got left, Pat?
What do you mean?
I feel like he's used a bunch of them up already if he's doing stuff like this.
Wow. That is awesome. He is the best.
He's falling to the five.
Do kids today know who Pat Summerall is, by the way?
I bet Anders doesn't.
Anders, you know who Pat Summerall is?
He was John Madden's co-commentator.
Wow, look at you. You are paying attention.
I never saw him, though. I never saw him live.
Well, he died 9 years ago, 8 years ago in 2013. Played football at Kicker, right? I think for the Giants way back in the day, and became a star in the broadcast booth. I thought he was one of the best ever, and I miss him. I miss hearing him
that
on
was
TV, man.
Thanksgiving was, for 30 years in a row? What, 25 like, years in a row?
Just like Dick Enberg and Dan Dierdorf. Right? Doing Seahawk games back in the day. Or Tommy Heinsohn and Dick Stockton doing the Eastern Conference Finals back in the day for CBS. So that is good stuff. All right, 421. We're going to break. We're going to come back. Hugh Miller is going to join us on the radio show at 5:05 tonight. We're going to ask him flat out, if the Husky offense struggles tomorrow, is John Donovan done?
Yeah!
Coming up at 5 o'clock on 950 KJKS, all in one.
Now back to Football Friday, powered by Bud Light, on your home for the Huskies and the 12th man, Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Jesus. What is this, like the Metropolitan Grill and the bar?
It kind of is,
Friday afternoon, 5 o'clock, little Miles Davis, little
Got
Louis
myself
Armstrong
a
in the background. What are you doing back there? You
bring ribeye?
You bring some booze and cigars for us, too, while you're at it, for crying out loud?
I'll bring that next week, for sure.
Anders in for Jackson Feltz. I almost said Ian Furness. In for Jackson Feltz today. We got testimonials of 445. So we're going to ask Hugh, when he comes on the air with us at 5 o'clock tonight, if the Husky offense struggles, what does that mean for the future of John Donovan, the immediate future of John Donovan? Because, look, I think we all know this, that you just can't keep doing this every week. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And I don't think you can get right with this game, but you might be on the way to getting right with this game. What do you really want, Dick, this weekend? You know what you want? Ask me what you want this weekend.
What do you want this weekend?
Here's what you want.
More than anything, I want better execution. Are we clear on that? I want better
execution.
I mean, that really is it. Like, instead of having three guys block two, leaving three unblocked, instead of having, you know, one defensive tackle, quadruple team by somebody, safety playing 55 yards down the field, let's execute better. Let's start there, because there is no way that these coaches look at the results they had on defense and offense at Michigan Stadium on Saturday and went back and watched the film and said, oh, yeah, that was all done right.
Is it too much to ask for some creativity and versatility?
No, it's 2021. I think you should have asked for it 10 years ago.
Is it too much to ask for more than we love ourselves some Dickie Newton, but is it too much for us to ask for something more than just number six getting the ball and running between the tackles?
Well, I think Sean McGrew, as I've said, I don't think of him as a running back. I think of the guy as an athlete, and I can see him running bubble screens, smoke screens. I could see a lot out of Sean McGrew, put him in the slot, whatever. I just think get the guy the ball because he's great in space. And I don't know what the hell's going on with Sean McGrew, if he's not practicing well or if they just love Dickie Newton and Cam Davis that much more than Sean McGrew. But the fact that they've struggled so mightily on offense and he can't even find a way on the field as a playmaker. What it is, Dick? It's just peculiar.
Yes.
It is so peculiar. Like, why? How did that happen? Is it the difference between going 0-2 or 2-0? No. Mm-hmm. Could it have been the difference,
between going 1-1?
Yes. Absolutely, for how close the Montana game was. If he could have sprung one or maybe given your offense a spark or get you in field goal range or maybe converted one of those drives and you score, he absolutely could have been. And let me tell you something, man. Right now, 1-1 versus 2-0 or versus 0-2 is like a Grand Canyon-style difference.
Yeah, because I think if you're 1-1, even if the Montana game didn't go great, but let's say you won like 20-13 or something like that, you could say, all right, we're 1-1. We kind of figured there was a chance that you're going to lose the Michigan game anyway. We can legitimately see us going forward and having all of our goals met in the Pac-12, and at least being like a one-loss team in the Pac-12. But having lost that Montana game and then looking the same on offense basically the next week that you did the first week, that's the problem. I'm wondering, I want to ask you too, if he thinks we're going to see a scheme change offensively. Right. Remember Rick told us yesterday, Neuheisel told us yesterday, he started 0-2 as the Husky head coach and immediately went to the wing T with Marcus Tuiasosopo and Pat Conniff, even though they didn't practice it during the summer, and it worked.
Yeah, you mean his UW days. You said UCLA. You mean UW.
I'm sorry. UW days.
We get it. Yeah. No, I mean, maybe, but what would the scheme change be? Just throw the ball more?
Four wides?
When Jalen McMillan comes back and Adunze comes back and you're healthy and Jalen Polk comes back later in the year. I mean, is that what Jimmy Lake is going to do? You're telling me that Jimmy Lake, after three games or two games, is going to say, all right, remember that whole run the damn ball thing I had? Mm-hmm. Just forget about that.
I think... How about run out of pass sets, pass out of run sets, be unpredictable? Move guys around, different personnel. We mentioned Kamari Pleasant. We mentioned Sean McGrew. Different type of, shots downfield. I mean, have they taken a shot downfield yet? Like a true, go route where they actually threw the ball downfield?
I don't remember one.
I can't remember
Not
one.
Against Montana either. I know this, that up until Cade Otten caught that 25-yard pass in the fourth quarter of the Montana game, the longest pass play of the game was 16 yards. I don't know if you can do that, though, with this offensive line playing the way they are. You can't take shots downfield if your offensive line can't protect the quarterback. So that would be where this starts. I just don't see how you can expand your offense if your offensive line isn't blocking anybody. You can't even function with your offensive line playing the way they are. So for me, this is all about the offensive line. All of this has to start with those guys. And even then, you don't have the world's greatest quarterback as far as physical gifts. There's no question about that. You're down at the wide receiver spot. You may not have a coordinator who's very creative. He's not exactly a pioneer when it comes to stuff. So, I mean, John Donovan is probably in the end doing exactly what Jimmy Lake wants him to do, but he can't do it because the offensive line can't block.
Well, we use the analogy, the MRI analogy, right? And that we were going to get an MRI after that first game and find out if it was indigestion or something worse. We found out it was something worse. So what's this game then? Is this the first step? Is this the first step of treatment and seeing if the treatment works? Because there is definitely something wrong with the Washington offense that we found out last week?
I just think that if we're being honest with ourselves, and I hope that I'm wrong, and I hope that this is one of those situations where We looked at what Virginia Tech did when they lost to James Madison. We look at what Michigan did when they lost to Appalachian State. Most of those teams found a way to rally after mm-hmm. losses like that. But if this thing starts to go sideways and they throw out a 5-7, even a 6-6, whatever type of year, I think a lot of folks are going to say, you know what? We should have seen it coming. They lost to Montana. Right after the first loss of the year and an FCS team, what the hell were we doing thinking anything differently? They lost to freaking Montana. So nothing should shock you. I got a text from a buddy of mine last night asking if we should be nervous for Arkansas State. Yeah, you lost to Montana. Of course you should be nervous for Arkansas State. Now it's the spectrum of possibilities for this team tomorrow is wide, one of which they destroy them and they put 55 points on them and hammer the hell out of them. That certainly is a possibility, but you're telling me you'd be stunned beyond belief if the fourth quarter came and this was a football game?
Well, your offense has not shown any ability to get out of its own way, so therefore it could be a 14-13 type game going into the fourth quarter.
Oh,
I
God.
Do feel
what's the atmosphere like in the stadium if that happens?
Well, there is no atmosphere going to be there in the stadium anyway tomorrow.
Well, booze.
Even the first
there's
quarter.
Booze. There's
well,
booze.
There's booze.
Out.
You're right. Yeah. I am buoyed by the fact that this team likes to throw the ball 50 times. I mean, that's exactly what the Huskies should want. I mean, right. if this was a team that came in with the Army offense and it was running like the triple option, I'd be like, oh, man, this could be just another. We're going to limit possessions. Maybe each team only gets like 7 shots with the ball because they're trying to milk 40 minutes off a 60-minute clock. But they're totally opposite that. They want to drop back and throw the ball 55 times into the Husky secondary.
Yeah, yeah.
That does not seem like a recipe for success for Arkansas State.
No, it doesn't. But the fact that we're even sweating this game is really a commentary, right? The fact
that's kind of what I'm saying. I'm not really
sweating this thing. Well, but I think you're not sweating it, but I think if this thing goes down to where some folks think it may go as the year goes by, you'll look back and say, maybe we should have sweated that. I just don't think the fan base or even the players or anybody has any right to overlook anybody. I mean, you got beat by Montana, right? How many times you got to say you got beat by Montana, you get destroyed by Michigan. Who are you overlooking anybody? Who are you not sweating every game the Huskies play? I have no idea where their confidence is right now. That's why I think this game tomorrow, the first couple of drives are going to be damn important, and they were important on Saturday at Michigan Stadium, and they were important in the fact that the defense kept you in the game down 10-0 at halftime. But if this is going back and forth and the offense is going 3 and out, 6 and out, whatever, and the crowd starts to boo and they start to hammer these guys at home, then I'm nervous about how kids react to an environment like that.
Well, the fact that I'm even talking about the style of play for Arkansas State
which is sweating
embarrassing.
That's sweating it. That's your version of sweating.
And it's also embarrassing. Do you think Oregon fans on Oregon Talk Radio today are worrying about the style of play for Stony Brook against the Ducks, giving them a better opportunity to win?
I don't know. I don't know what Stony Brook's all about. Stony Brook may be damn good. I have no clue.
Let's hope.
By the way, why
good.
Is Stony Brook playing that game anyway? They're flying. You know where Stony Brook is? The school?
East Coast,
it's
right?
It's in upstate New York.
Yeah.
Why are they flying to Eugene to play Oregon? Oh, money. For probably like $1 million.
Yeah,
that's
a
why.
Bucks.
I forgot about that. All right, 439. Testimonials, 49451. You're more pissed off about the Huskies or fired up for the Seahawks? Lots of text to get to, 49451. And then Hugh Millen's going to join the radio show coming up 5 o'clock tonight right here on 950 KJM.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fain.
Ah, what a shaky start there, huh? What do you think? You got to turn him on there, Anders. Yeah, you can't.
Oh, you can't hear me?
No, I can now.
Hello? Is this thing on?
Yes. Hello.
I think Anders has done a fine job today.
I don't know. You know, a little rougher on the edges, man. Just relax. You'll be fine. You're going to be okay. All right? You're going to be okay.
You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay.
Just chill.
It's not all like right, Jackson's man. Perfect, for God's sake.
Well, this is the bar is low with that guy. You kidding me? Unbelievable.
Jackson is fumbled.
All right, 449. Textimonials, 49451.
Jesus Christ, Jackson.
Coors Light text line, keeping Seattle chill. Let's see if the kid comes through. Anders, what do you got?
I think another reason to be more pissed at the Huskies is that the Seahawks offense showed what we expected to see from the dogs. Ooh. And instead we got a crap sandwich.
unvaccinated folks.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't order this. What the hell is this? Right? Like, I ordered a freaking
this is a crap
porterhouse with blue cheese and a Caesar and some
sounds good
bananas Foster and a bottle of Cab, and you give me a bowl of chili and some orange juice. The hell is this?
God, what a combo, bowl of chili and orange juice.
I don't want this. Take this back.
That's
what
exactly
this?
What we got. We got two big bowls of chili and orange juice the last 2 weeks.
It's unbelievable, man. I mean, it's like, can we get a redo? Do they do mulligans in college football, please? My God. All right, what's next?
Unvaccinated folks.
Have to be more upset about you, Dub. We are Seattle sports fans, glass half full and always waiting for the other shoe to drop. Blame the Mariners for creating it.
Yeah, it's their fault. All the skepticism, pessimism in your life, everything comes back. The root genesis is that you are a Mariner fan. Why do you wake up waiting for the stock market to crash? I'm a Mariner fan, man. Wow. That's why. That's why.
See, I separate it. Like, I've always been one that if you prove to me that you're trustworthy, reliable, I will believe that you will continue to be trustworthy and reliable. And I believe that at the Seahawks, and I believe that at the Huskies. I believe that at the Sounders and the Storm. And the Mariners have shown me that I need to change. I need to change. That's part of the whole reason why I was so skeptical this year, because they haven't shown me to be trustworthy and reliable for most of the last 20
years. It's like the scene in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which was probably made 30 years before Anders was born, when Steve Martin says to John Candy, "I can handle anything because I've been with Dale Griffith. I know."
That's right.
I know what it's like. All right, 451. What's next?
I'm fired up for the Hawks, and I'm so fired up that the Huskies are showing how bad they suck. Go Cougs.
See, there you go. I mean, that's, hey, you've earned it. You know, take it, soak it up. Well, you're 1-1. I think the Cougar fans are going to be, the Cougs are not going to be a very good football team anyway. So may as well, you know, misery loves company. Drag us down with you. You want to kick us in the teeth while we're down? Then, hey, I'd do the same damn thing. Yeah. If I were expecting a 3-9 season, I'd be doing the same damn thing if I were you.
You know how I feel about the Cougars talking smack until they win one Apple Cup. I just don't think – it just doesn't go – it kind of looks bad. It looks pathetic you can't beat another team year after year after year, and then you're poking fun at them when they
struggle. Of course. We did the same thing when Oregon kicked our ass for 12 years in a row. We had some pretty lean years during that time when Oregon was smoking us every single season. And guess what? You know what? If I'm going to suck, then you're sucking with me. And that's the only thing I have to look forward to, is you being as miserable as I am. We can be miserable bastards together. All right, what's next?
More pissed off about the Huskies. We were told all offseason they were going to be a contender for the conference and possibly a playoff team. And also heard that it was the best offensive line in the country.
We did.
Well,
we
Phil Steele liked
things.
Them. A lot of people that aren't close to the program thought they were going to be really, really good. And I don't know, maybe we should have seen it against Stanford when they got pushed around by those guys and they couldn't run the ball, they couldn't stop the run. And it's been three games in a row now where they really have lost the battle up front on the line of scrimmage. And that is absolutely concerning for sure. So let's see that turn around tomorrow. How about that for an idea?
Yeah. There were two things I was positive about going into this game, going into the season rather. One, we're going to be able to stop the pass. And two, we're going to be able to run the football. Other than that, I got no idea how the rest of the team's going to go. But those two things I was certain about, and we've only seen one of those things happen.
Anders, what's next?
Is Softy the Cam Newton of Seattle Sports Radio?
What does that mean? Oh, that if I was a producer, I'd be a distraction.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too, fine. I'd just big. Be out of here. You have no idea how badly I want out of here. I want out of here so bad.
Well, just leave.
What do I have to do to get fired? I got to get fired first. I
Why
can't
you
just
have to get
because
fired?
My wife won't let me leave. I have to get whacked.
Oh.
What do I have to do to get whacked? Drop an F-bomb on the air.
Hey,
take my pants off at a remote.
It's 2021. There's a lot of things.
What do you want me to do? Tell me what to do and I'll do it. I'm dying over here.
You just have to.
What do I have to do?
Defend the wrong people. And you're gone.
Tell me what I got to do. Is there a client I got to go after? Is there someone I got to make fun of? Is there something? Is there a buzzword? What's the new word of the week that we can't say this week that we could say last week? Is there a new word of the week?
It seems like there's one every week.
Is there? It's like every day.
That we used to be able to say,
and now
we can't
say anymore. What's the new band, slogan or saying that we can't get away with now that yesterday was just fine, but today isn't fine?
I don't know.
Tell me what it is. I want out of here. All right, 454. Hugh Millen's going to join the radio show. Coming up next, talk some foosball on 950 KJR.